Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Protests over China's strict COVID controls are spreading to more cities, with some demonstrators in the financial hub of Shanghai publicly venting their anger at the Communist Party leadership. The BBC's Katie Silver is following developments.
Protesters chanted, "Down with the Chinese Communist Party, down with Xi Jinping," as they took to the streets in Shanghai and Nanjing. Such demonstrations are unusual in a country where any criticism of the government and the president can result in harsh penalties. But after 3 years of lockdowns, quarantines and tight restrictions, patience for many is wearing thin. In recent days, protests have erupted in the tightly controlled Xinjiang region after a fire in an apartment block killed several people. There, protesters entered apartment buildings and gathered outside government offices waving red flags, opposing President Xi's zero COVID policy.
The BBC's Katie Silver reporting. In Italy, rescue workers on the island of Ischia continue to search for the missing after a huge landslide demolished homes and left streets buried in mud and debris. NPR's Sylvia Pagioli reports the death toll now stands at 2, while 10 people are still missing.
The government declared a state of emergency on the island off of Naples and earmarked $2.1 million in disaster aid. Prefect Claudio Palomba said 15 homes had been overwhelmed by the cascading mud, and in addition to the dead and missing, more than 160 residents are displaced. TV images showed cars and buses being pulled out of the sea and images of a man caked in mud clinging to a shutter chest deep in muddy water. The island had its heaviest rainfall in 20 years. Nearly 5 inches fell in 6 hours. But commentators blame much of the devastation on the large number of homes illegally built on unsafe land. The governor of the Campania region, Vincenzo De Luca, said buildings in such danger zones should be demolished. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.
Jurors resume deliberations tomorrow in the seditious conspiracy trial against Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes and 4 others. They're accused of plotting to prevent Joe Biden from taking office. NPR's Ryan Lucas has more.
Over the course of the 7-week trial, prosecutors presented text messages and video and audio recordings, as well as witness testimony that they say shows that Rhodes and his co-defendants conspired to use force to prevent the peaceful transfer of power to Joe Biden. Attorneys for Rhodes and the other defendants argue that there was no plan to storm the Capitol on January 6th and that the Oath Keepers were in Washington, D.C. that day to provide security to Trump supporters. The decision on the defendant's fate now lies in the hands of the jury, which finally began deliberating Tuesday before breaking for the Thanksgiving holiday. They are set to resume their deliberations on Monday. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR. The Supreme Court is to hear arguments tomorrow on the standard of evidence in the prosecution of federal corruption laws. A former aide to a governor and a businessman are appealing their convictions of bribery and fraud. A decision in their favor could make it harder for prosecutors to get convictions. Investors will get fresh information about consumer spending and the job market this week. NPR's Scott Horsley reports on what's ahead for the stock market after a holiday-shortened trading week.
The Commerce Department reports this coming week on personal income and spending for the month of October. Spending increased in August and September, but with prices climbing faster than incomes, many people are having to dip into savings in order to keep paying their bills. Consumer spending is the biggest driver of the U.S. economy. A closely watched measure of inflation will be reported on Thursday. Other inflation yardsticks have shown price increases slowing, but Federal Reserve officials caution it's much too soon to declare inflation under control. The central bank's been keeping a close eye on the job market. On Friday, the Labor Department will report on November's job gains, as well as the unemployment rate. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
North Korea today released more photos showing the country's dictator Kim Jong-un with his daughter, who is believed to be around 10 years old. The photos show the two posing with soldiers. It's the second time this month that North Korea has released photos of the girl, whose name and age have not been officially confirmed by the secretive country's government. Her new public profile has led to speculation that Kim may already be grooming her to be his successor. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.